Welcome to The Excellent Fiduciary, a podcast from Roland Criss, where we explore what it takes to meet and exceed the demands of managing a retirement plan in today's complex market. Now, let's begin today's show with an introduction from our Roland Criss host.
While discussions of fiduciary responsibility for retirement plans aren't new, the latest trend circulating is that hiring an ERISA Section 316 fiduciary relieves an employer of fiduciary responsibility. Some record keepers and third-party administrators, which I'm going to refer to in this podcast as RKs and TPAs, started a trend that's catching on in the vendor market. Many have added a new feature which they call 316. They claim or infer that they relieve employers of a vital legal fiduciary duty, and that's the focus of this podcast. I'm Ron Hagen. As chairman of Roland Criss's Risk Standards Committee, my group continually evaluates the trends and performance of vendors of services to retirement plans qualified under the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, or ERISA. The trend we're going to discuss today is either a boon for employers or a slick sales gimmick by savvy vendors. So, in order to determine the value of their claims, let's first look at how ERISA defines the 316 fiduciary role. Every ERISA plan needs a plan sponsor, a plan administrator, a named fiduciary, and a trustee. Section 316 of ERISA defines the legal obligations of a plan administrator, hence the term 316 fiduciary. It's a legal as well as a functional title. So the plan administrator is the person or committee designated in the document that defines a retirement plan's features and governance structure. That document is simply called the plan document. If no plan administrator is named in the plan document, then the plan sponsor by default becomes the plan administrator. Well, generally, a plan administrator is responsible for interpreting the plan's governance documents, administering the plan per governance provisions, overseeing the prudent handling of plan assets, managing operations, including the plan's payroll interface, appointing other fiduciaries, selecting and monitoring service providers, and determining the reasonableness of the compensation paid to third-party vendors. Now, at a retirement plan's inception, the plan sponsor is the 316 fiduciary. The vast majority of employers keep that role permanently. However, employers may delegate 316 status to a qualified third party as long as that group, that organization, that third party has no conflict of interest with the plan. Even though an employer may hire various service providers to assist with the operation and management of their plans, under ERISA, the sponsor retains primary fiduciary responsibility no matter what anybody says. They are never wholly free of potential liability no matter what a savvy service sales representative may say or infer. RKs and TPAs are historically non-fiduciary service providers. Their services are what's called ministerial in nature, and that's what makes the emergence of 316 services from that category of vendors noteworthy and requiring very careful examination. We've looked very closely at many contracts that are offered by RKs and TPAs with 316 provisions in their agreements. They reveal clever language that disguises avoidance, in many cases, of actual liability under what we call a veil of authenticity. In other words, the record keeper or TPA is typically a trusted advisor, a trusted vendor with a plan, and they, because of that role, acquire an image of authenticity. So while RKs and TPA service agreements stipulate support of the 316 function, and I emphasize the use of the word support, they usually disclaim any legal responsibility for performing those functions or the outcomes of the work involved in carrying out the activities. The U.S. Department of Labor warns executives who oversee their employer's ERISA-qualified plans about such tactics. The warning was published in the Federal Register, and here's the key part of it that bears on our discussion today. The DOL says, the market for retirement plan services is characterized by acute information asymmetry. The information costs of plan service providers are far lower than their clients. Vendors are specialists in the design of their products, services, and compensation arrangements and are continually engaged in marketing to plan sponsors. Plan sponsors often lack this degree of specialization. As a result, vendors are able to maintain an information advantage over their plan sponsor clients. So that's the Department of Labor's conclusion about the disadvantage that retirement plan executives face when they hear a record keeper or a third-party administrator approach them about 316 services. But there's more. The DOL's warning continues with this statement. Vendors have a strong incentive to use their information advantage to distort market outcomes in their own favor. Current ERISA rules hold plan sponsors, rather than vendors, accountable for evaluating the cost and quality of plan services. And vendors can reap excess profit by concealing conflicts of interest from their clients, thereby making their prices appear lower and their product quality higher. Well, with that as a backdrop, let's take a closer look now at the 316 trends in the record-keeping and TPA services market. Some plan sponsors may mistakenly believe that a 316 record keeper or TPA will automatically assume a retirement plan's fiduciary responsibilities. That's not so. Vendors routinely eliminate the functions that carry legal liability through clever language in their service agreements. That allows them to increase their compensation by performing the same ministerial functions they've always provided without any real risk. What's more, some of the activities that record keepers and third-party administrators assume in their contracts create conflicts of interest that really should bother every retirement plan's oversight committee member. I'll give you a couple examples of that. One is the Form 5500. Form 5500 is an annual filing required by the IRS. A record keeper or a TPA typically prepares it for a retirement plan. Now, audits conducted by CPAs of Form 5500s during annual plan audits regularly uncover errors in the production of Form 5500s, yet RKs and TPAs 316 agreements often give them the right to file and sign the reports with the IRS without the client's intervention. A faulty Form 5500 is a smoking gun and can easily lead regulators to unsuspecting plan sponsors who are responsible for the accuracy of the forms. Another example of some of the difficulties in conveying to a record keeper or a third-party administrator any kind of a fiduciary acknowledgement has to do with conflicts of interest. A severe conflict of interest that 316 RKs and TPAs impose on a retirement plan is their compensation. Runaway costs for record keeping and third-party administration services are a leading cause of lawsuits now against employers. 316 RKs and TPAs are well positioned to distract their plan sponsor clients' attention from their compensation, and that's a perfect setup for fees to get unreasonably high. Well, before you use a record keeper or a TPA's 316 program, here's something to contemplate. Take time to think how you would explain to a federal regulator or a judge why you delegated control of a vital retirement plan duty to a vendor who can set and monitor their compensation and who can conceal their errors. Unfortunately, many plan sponsors rely too heavily on the guidance of their service providers, not realizing the exposure to conflicts of interest that infect so-called 316 services for which the plan sponsor is accountable. It remains to be seen whether the trend in so-called 316 services offered by record keepers and TBAs blossoms into an industry-wide practice. But it's a looming situation that requires knowledge and vigilance by retirement plan and investment plan committees. Well, as we come to the end of our time today, I wanted to guide you on how to avoid being deceived. Here are a couple of questions you can ask. Does the record keeper or TPA propose charging a higher fee for 316 services than for its traditional transaction processing work? If so, be sure you understand that there is value in the higher fee because you are still, as the plan sponsor, accountable for ensuring that the fees your plan participants pay for services are fair and that they are reasonable. Secondly, obtain an itemized list of the vendor services that it claims will be subject to ERISA's fiduciary duty. Remember, an outsourced 316 fiduciary is limited to taking on legal responsibility only for the activities that are defined in their contracts. The employer remains responsible for administering all other plan functions, plus monitoring the prudence of the 316 selection. Third, inquire how the service provider intends to monitor and evaluate compliance with fiduciary rules. ERISA makes fiduciaries accountable for the actions of the other fiduciaries. How often does the record keeper or TPA contract stipulate on what frequency the plan will conduct an RFP to compare the RK or TPA services with other vendors? Also, be aware that a vendor that sets or manages its compensation is a prohibited transaction under ERISA, and it breaches the plan sponsor's fiduciary duty. Finally, adding 316 fiduciary status, no matter how limited it may be to your plan's record keeper or TPA services, is loaded with risks. Contrary to vendors' claims, the average retirement plan committee is more exposed to potential liability than it already possesses when it hires what I call multiple hat vendors. If the idea of relieving some of your plan's fiduciary burden by engaging a third-party 316 fiduciary is appealing, then hire an independent one. By that I mean a firm that does not provide other services to your retirement plan. Want to learn more about your fiduciary responsibilities and whether your organization and your retirement plan participants might benefit from 316 fiduciary services? Contact me by email at excellentfiduciary@rolandchris.com or go to our website at rolandchris.com for more podcasts and more information that address the challenges facing executives who serve as fiduciaries for employee benefit plans qualified under ERISA. Thank you for joining us today. Come back next week. And until then, have a great day.